This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. When veterans return from war, adjusting to civilian life brings its own set of challenges, including reshaping relationships and navigating a new personal narrative that is not centered on combat. A new documentary, Farmer Veteran, explores that challenge. The film follows a veteran who served three tours in Iraq and returned to rural North Carolina, where he carved out a life as a farmer. The film screens tonight at the Carolina Theater in Durham. That show is sold out, but the film is also going to be coming to PBS this spring. My guest is Alex Blair. She's one of the directors of Farmer Veteran. Alex, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Frank. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you, and I say welcome back because you were here in 2012 at the beginning of this journey for you when you were just setting out to make the film. And therein lies a story. Tell us what your assumptions were at the time because the way they change becomes an important part of your story.
Absolutely. So I made this film with Jeremy Lang as the other director and D.L. Anderson and Michael Barton, the producers. And so when we started out, we were very excited to look at how agriculture could play a part in healing and transition after being in combat. So we were kind of in this very idealistic, maybe naive place looking for that story. And over the time we spent with the veteran and his wife, a lot more came up about the legacy of trauma and how not easy it is to dive into farming as a solution off the bat.
Tell us more about Alex Sutton, the subject of your film.
Yes, so Alex, when we met him, he had just been honorably discharged from the military. He had been in Iraq for three tours, as you mentioned, and he had been in the military for 13 years. So he went straight out of high school into that identity. And when we met him, he was so excited to start farming, so in love with his girlfriend who would become his wife, really eager, a lot of boyish charm, lot of desire to tell his story and find meaning in the space of what comes after combat. And we were drawn in very quickly and then started noticing things weren't quite adding up.
He's raising chickens.
Yes, he's raising heritage poultry.
So very excited you're there. And tell us about how you shot this, because you were there regularly over this whole period
of time.
We were, right?
Yes. Yes, so Jeremy and I made a very conceited effort to try to go out as often as possible. For a while, it was once a week, and Jeremy had a full-time job and kids, and I had actually started grad school at Duke. And so we were balancing a lot of other things, but huge priority in showing up as much as possible to be there for life unfolding, which is the demand of a documentary film. You kind of have to put yourself second.
Well, and you have to pull for Alex, too, and we do throughout this film. He's starting out his first family. He's divorced from his wife. He can no longer and estranged from his child from that marriage. Starting out again, a beautiful romance with his new woman who will become his wife in the course of this film, and two children, ultimately. So the story progresses that way, and again, you're pulling for him, but things don't work out for him as a farmer.
That's true. One thing that I always touch on is that the USDA declares a beginning farmer as 10 years or less, which in any other job, you're 10 years, you're an expert. So I like that data point because it speaks to how hard it is to be a good farmer. And I think what happened for Alex is he was so idealistic but had no support from community or from a mentor to help him. And farming is so hard. And that first winter hit, and not only is he is trying to find a new identity. I mean, that existential search for any of us is so painful and difficult and demands attention. But then you're also trying to run a farm, and you hit your first winter, and everything's hard in winter. And so they lost a lot of birds. Everything's dormant. Things aren't growing. That's part of the experience of farming is things are hard in winter. But I think because he had so much emotional identity at stake and pride at stake, he took it really hard.
And tell us where his farm is.
Yes, it's in Moore County, so that's like southwestern North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so why was it? Because he's being treated for PTSD, so that's clear. He understands that. He's hoping this farm is going to do it. Why does he choose farming?
I think he chose farming for two reasons. One is that he grew up being raised by his grandparents and they ran a farm. So one is the very gut emotional connection to return to childhood, like go back to find what makes you happy. And he speaks to that in the film of trying to seek a way of life that he was stable and gave him meaning. I think on the other side that we've seen as part of a national trend of veterans going into farming is that it's very purposeful. It uses your body. You're in charge of your surroundings. You're not around crowds. You're not in an office. Those are huge triggers for people that have PTSD. So in many ways, and I believe very strongly, if done right, healing in agriculture as well as animal therapy or fishing or things like that have huge potential.
And we'll talk about this and we'll talk about what works and what didn't work, particularly in Alex's case. It's not as though he's not getting any support. Obviously, he's getting medical attention and he's taking some drugs that can help stabilize him. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about the protocol he was on and the kind of treatment he was getting.
Right. So, I mean, I think the thing that people need to know is that There's no magic bullet for PTSD. Every human body is different on a physical level and mental level. And then there is no drug that will solve it. So the VA is doing, I think, an amazing job, their best to find medications that work, but there is no one medication. So for Alex, when we meet him, he's on about 15 different kinds to help him sleep, to help him wake up, to help him with anxiety, you know, this cocktail that they're forever trying to figure out what is the right mix. And so even now, today, right now, he's still trying to figure out what that is.
We have a clip from the film in which Alex is talking with a friend about that very thing. Maybe you can help set it up for us.
Yes. So Alex is talking with another farmer veteran that he met about they're kind of comparing the different meds they take and having a shared experience about that strange road.
Let's listen.
Yeah, they put me on Tokamax for the seizures, and it helped, but it took the memory.
Fluoxetine.
You have that too.
Well, that's what
he has that, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't take it.
Yeah.
Why don't you take it?
I just don't want taking all these pills. I don't even know what they are. I forget.
That one's helped me a lot.
Well, maybe you should actually do it. They gave it to him, and he took it for like a week, and he's like, I don't like it. I'm not taking it.
That's a clip from the documentary Farmer Veteran. The film is playing tonight at the Carolina Theater in Durham, also going to air on PBS this spring, and I'm speaking with one of the film's directors, Alex Blair. So tell us more about this, because it's not only is it not working out in the farm, but he's also showing signs of PTSD. Tell us about some of the things that we see in the film that would look a little unusual to us.
I mean, I think lots of people have trauma in their lives every day. You know, PTSD, and there's so much research going into it right now because it's this huge issue. I mean, one thing we read is that there are the least amount of physical injuries now in the wars that we're in, but the greatest amount of PTSD being diagnosed. So in Alex's case, I mean, the way it manifested sometimes is he would just not be able to get out of bed, having nightmares, things that trigger him. For example, at a rural market, he sees a man that reminds him of a Middle Eastern person and very automatically reaches for his gun, which isn't there. And I think that's a way that PTSD manifests, is you feel so unsafe in your environment because your mind and your body has been so traumatized. And I think that's one way that needs to change in helping our veterans is to look at different modalities of healing. Yes, group therapy, yes, medication, and yes, also agricultural therapy or animals, like I mentioned. There needs to be a greater understanding that it takes lots of styles to find healing per person.
You say the gun wasn't there in the marketplace, but he does carry weapons around on the farm almost all the time.
All the time. And I think in one way that's part of rural farm life. I mean, I come from a family of farmers and they have guns. But I also think that for someone whose identity was a soldier for 13 years, guns represent safety. I mean, it's a very direct metaphor. So I think you see in the film his transition in his relation to having lots of guns. And then as he becomes a father, trying to make that identity switch and lessen his relating to guns as safety.
The other thing you see in this film is a man trying very hard to make it all work. He talks about his grandfather and his farm, his grandfather's farm, growing up with great love and affection for that farm and his grandfather, but noticing his grandfather, a Vietnam vet.
Korea.
Korea. Korea. Mm-hmm. war veteran who had a hard time looking at Asian faces whenever he saw Koreans. And Alex notices this and says, I hope that doesn't happen to me, but I notice it does. Very conscientious in trying to make this work. So I'm talking to Alex Blair. She's the director of the new film, Farmer Veteran. I want to bring into our conversation now Dr. Irving Koo. He is Associate Chief of Staff for Mental Health Services at the Central Arkansas Veteran Healthcare System. He's been helping with outreach for the film, connecting the film with veterans and their families, and knows quite a bit about all this. Dr. Koo, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on your program, Frank.
Well, thank you for joining us and maybe helping us understand more about this. Alex Sutton, we've talked about this, struggling to find the right balance of medication to get through this. Thinks that life on the farm, hopes that life on the farm is going to be part of this. First of all, let me ask you how that experience compares with what you're seeing with other veterans.
Probably similar. One of the things I really liked about the film is that Alex looked so familiar to me. I've seen, I don't know, hundreds of veterans with a diagnosis of PTSD, so he seemed really familiar and a different kind of depiction than in maybe fictionalized films and TV shows. What I saw was someone who is really a PTSD veteran, so I really liked the film's honesty in that way. And many of the struggles that he had in terms of interfacing with his family, with his community, with trying to deal with treatment issues, including medications, his wife calling the VA, trying to get him into some talk therapy, and although I don't think this was brought up in the film, his resistance to being in that kind of treatment, and really the multitude of medications that he was on. Alex Blair is absolutely correct that there really isn't a singular magic anti-PTSD medication, and unfortunately, there is at times the difficulty of just adding medications mm-hmm. to try to help, and they wind up having side effects, and we try to give medications for side effects, so it winds up really being problematic.
Well, there's so many moving parts, obviously, in this kind of treatment, and you talked about the effects of multiple drugs in the first place, and then multiple modes of therapy. So let's try a farm, for instance. It's physical. It employs a lot of my body and mind. It's quiet. All of this you think would work. Not working out in Alex's case. How does, as a clinician and one who deals and works with therapy, how do you measure these things if you're working in real time with a patient who has to buy a farm to determine whether or not this is the right mode in combination with drugs? What are you looking for?
Well, buying a farm, at least in my mind, is a little bit on the extreme measure. But I think the idea of looking for some kind of meaning in one's life, being able to occupy one's time, being able to control the stimulus of the environment around you is really important. Plus, there are, I guess, what we would call evidence-based therapies, and these are talk therapies, psychotherapies, which have some backing in terms of an evidence that that they do help with symptom reduction and are able to help veterans cope with their lives a little bit better.
One of the things, and I think one of the threads in this film, Alex, and I'll turn back to you for a moment, is the relationship with you as filmmakers, with Alex throughout the period. And there was a moment when you noticed a fairly important discrepancy between his story about why he left the military and what the medical records show. What I would like to do at this point is just play a clip of Alex in your film telling his story of why it was he had to leave the military.
My last tour in Iraq, I got hit in an IED, and it tore me up really bad. After a bunch of surgeries and doctors and everything else later on, they told me, hey, you're either going to have to retire or you're going to have to take a desk job. And I couldn't do it, so I picked the retirement.
So that's a clip from the documentary Farmer Veteran. It's playing tonight at the Carolina Theater in Durham, also airing on PBS this spring. I'm talking with film's director Alex Blair and also Dr. Irving Koo, a mental health expert contributing to the outreach for the film. Alex, at one point you looked at the medical record and didn't see any evidence of the IED, of much of what he told you about his medical condition.
Yeah, so one of the days we showed up to film, he offered this disc to us that was his medical records, and it was actually the other director, Jeremy, who spent time going through over 2,000 pages, which immediately that tells you a lot of people showed up to try to help him over the course of what he was struggling with. And to the best of our ability, we did not find evidence that some of what he said happened to him had happened to him. So we then became extremely curious to understand why. What is the relationship of storytelling to coping with trauma? How is it a mechanism that we employ to take care of ourselves? And rather than being angry at the discrepancy, how can we use that to understand better what's happening in PTSD experience and in war experience? And I always relate it to myself. Like when I tell stories, I always want to be the braver, more beautiful, you know, charming version of myself. So I think it's a very human thing to do.
Well, Dr. Koo, I come from a long line of medical folks, and they will tell me that they look for discrepancies because it's a very important clue for them. And I wonder if that's how you see this and see that as a clue and how you would work with that if you find the part of the story that the individual can't seem to tell, what that means to you.
Well, you know, certainly the initial story that that Alex gave was plausible. You know, there are a lot of veterans who are injured by an IED explosion, but, you know, it was in contrast to the actual medical documentation. And, you know, if I was treating him, I would be pretty gentle about approaching him in that way. I think, you know, my sense is that his mind is really trying to protect him from pain at this particular time. And the way he sees himself is really an important thing. I don't want to disabuse him automatically of, or challenge him directly, why the medical record's so much different. My sense is to really be able to get to know him and have him be able to begin to look at some of the discrepancies, because it's pretty obvious. You know, he talks about experimental surgeries on his legs, but if you look at his legs, he doesn't have the scars or things like that that might actually talk to that. And just be able to, I would use curiosity really as a tool to be able to explore this with him.
Do you see it as a key, though, however gently and however long it might take you, that this is the area we must explore if we're going to get
make absolutely progress? I think this is a key area. I think, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road for him anyway in his particular case, because this is such a so sensitive an issue that he has to change it in a way that's much more palatable for him.
He's not with us now, but Alex, I wonder, I mean, he's been very open with you and wanting to tell his story. Tell why is it that Alex allowed you into his life and was so open with you? It seemed to be he is somebody who deeply wanted to tell his story.
And I think he still deeply wants to tell his story. I think, as Dr. Koo said really well, like the discrepancy is how he wants to be seen and how much that's part of protecting himself versus what we learned. But from the moment we got there, I think he is, like so many, eager to find meaning in his life and also find community. I mean, our veteran population is less than 1% of our population. That is an incredible minority and incredibly rural communities as well, incredibly isolated. And I think the desire to tell a story is the desire to find connection and belonging that we all seek, but is a particular challenge for veterans coming back with an experience that no civilian can appreciate.
I want to thank both of you for being on our program. Farmer Veteran is a new documentary that follows a veteran carving out a life for himself in rural North Carolina. I've been talking with Alex Blair. She's one of the film's directors. Dr. Irving Koo is the Associate Chief of Staff for Mental Health Services at the Central Arkansas Veterans Healthcare System. Alex and Dr. Koo, thank you both
so
much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
You can find out more about the film, Farmer Veteran. It screens tonight, followed by a Q&A. That has been sold out at Durham's Carolina Theater, but it will be shown on PBS this spring, and we have details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we talk about the little-known story of the African-American women who worked as mathematicians for NASA and helped with the space program. Stay tuned.